Following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on May 7, 1990 in Hyderabad, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 30, Verse 51 and 52.
Born, Daksha, by the super excellence of his bodily luster, covered all others' bodily opulence. Because he was very expert in performing fruitive activities, he was called by the name Daksha, meaning the very expert. Lord Brahma therefore engaged Daksha in the work of generating living entities. Someone standing needs someone to tend to them. And maintaining them. In due course of time, Daksha also engaged other prajapatis, progenitors, in the process of generation and maintenance. Translation with repetition. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Daksha became almost as powerful as Lord Brahma. Consequently, Lord Brahma engaged him in generating population. Daksha was very influential and opulent. In his own turn, Daksha engaged other prajapatis headed by Marichi. In this way, the population of the universe increased. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 4th canto, 30th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of the Prachetas. Om Tat Sat. So, this chapter covered the life, some of the activities of the prachetas. The prachetas were able to satisfy the Lord by their austerity and devotional service, so that the Lord personally appeared to them. It's not everyone who can realize the Lord. It's a special mercy when the Lord appears. So the Lord appeared to the prachetas, and they were overwhelmed by seeing the transcendental beauty of the Lord. Not only did the Lord appear to them, Princess Lord Krishna appeared to Parikshit Maharaj, but then again he disappeared. He didn't stay to give any instruction. Instead, Sukadeva Goswami gave instruction to Parikshit Maharaj. But the Lord himself gave instruction to the Prachetas. This was a special mercy. Then the Prachetas entered into Grihastha Ashram and worshipped the deity form of the Lord. They also gave birth in this verse to Daksha. The same Daksha who had offended Lord Shiva had gone through certain austerities and penances, had to take birth second time now. But because of the being forgiven by Lord Shiva, we can see in this verse that he's regained his opulence and he's being engaged again in as a progenitor by Lord Brahma. So this chapter gives us many instructions how by cooperating together the prachetas got the mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada stressed that the devotees of ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, should cooperate together. That by cooperating together, this should be more pleasing to the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when many devotees are cooperating together than when this one person is doing independent devotional service. There's two kinds of devotees. Bhajanandis who want to be alone and just do their worship. And Goshtiyanandis, those who want to increase the number of devotees and engage in devotional service in association with many devotees. Narada Muni is a Goshtiyanandi and his principal disciples. We are coming in the line of Narada. We also try to increase the number of devotees. Actually, chanting Hare Krishna and worshipping Krishna, one can easily get liberation. Even Ajamiya, by just casually, you can say, accidentally almost chanting the name of the Lord at the time he was leaving his body, he could get liberation. Of course, in Kali Yuga, even though it's so easy, even in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami states that although by just accidentally chanting the name of Krishna before dying, one can go back to Godhead, still then people don't do it. Srila Prabhupada gave the example how one disciple went to tell the parent, to please chant Hare Krishna, while the parent was dying, believe mother. She was saying, no, I can't say that. I don't know exactly how. I'm too tired. I'm feeling weak. I can't do it. It's too difficult. Like this. So many things she said, and she died. The whole lecture, how she can. She just said, I can't chant Hare Krishna. She would have been delivered. So people are very unfortunate in this age. It's very easy for them to get delivered by chanting the name of Krishna. But even though it's so easy, they don't do it. This is the nature of the Kali Yuga. So many people are coming here to abbot. When they come, they could just come and take a darshan of the temple, take some prasadam. This would benefit them so much spiritually. But instead, they don't do that, missing the opportunity. Simply by remembering Krishna, we can get all mercy. The Prachetas, they were very fortunate. They took advantage. Thus they got so much mercy. So we learn this. Daksha was very expert at fruitive activities. But in age of Kali, it's not possible to perform yajnas or karmas perfectly. Always some difficulty will come. Bhagavad states even expert person makes mistakes in the age of Kali. It's the age of mistakes, age of hypocrisy, age of quarrel. It's the Iron Age. Even they're putting up this Challenger rocket to take things into outer space, but it blew up while everyone is watching on TV. They made a mistake. Scientists are making so many mistakes. Now there's so many satellites and things that are up in outer space. This is just garbage. It's all floating in the, going around. So it's very dangerous to get hit by all the garbage. Thousands of items are floating there. Broken satellites, broken parts. So it's become dangerous. When they send the people up, they may get hit by one of these things. So they do something, they make some mistakes. Scientists are expert in technology, but they still make mistakes. Now they have to solve the problem about this orbiting garbage. So So this is Kali Yuga. Whenever we do, some garbage is there. So in our human life also is filled with garbage activities, illicit activities. So where is the daksha? Where is the expert person now who can do everything perfectly? Or where is even the desire to do it? That's why everything has been simplified. We should chant the name of Krishna. By chanting the name of Kesava, we can easily get the perfection of life, even age of Kali. This is our most amazing thing, is that if you try to do karma perfectly in this age, you can't achieve it. If you try to do yoga perfectly, you can also achieve. If you try to even study and become filled with knowledge, still you won't succeed easily. Nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyatha. But by Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, by chanting the holy name, the holy name, the holy name, you can achieve it. This is the reason why they're saying nasteva, nasteva, nasteva. No karma, no yoga, no jnana. It's not possible in the age of Kali to do all these things properly. But Harinam you can do. Still the people, they are not interested. They don't realize what a special facility has been given to them. If you go, when the Europeans went to South America, someone had one of these bowler caps, bowler hats, and the princess of the Indian Incas liked that bowler cap, so they traded that for 1 kilo of gold, although a bowler cap is worth hardly a few rupees. So it became a fashion. Now all the one type of Inca tribal lady, they all wear bowler caps. You go in South America and Bolivia, on the street they're all wearing the bowler cap, bowler hat. It's very surprising. Because they brought tons of those things and just gave them to these people in exchange for that gold and jewels and all type of valuable things. What is a bowler cap? They're getting, a child has a 100 rupee note. You say, take this lozenge, give me that useless piece of paper. Yes, take that paper. Give me lozenge. I can taste it, I can eat it. Like this, people today, they don't know the value of life. They're accepting a temporary useless thing. They're accepting that garbage, which is a refuse. Even in other yugas, they won't think of these things. But today people are running after it, thinking how this body is all in all. After all, this body, when it dies, it's going to be either eaten by worms. You see, when you bury the body, it's going to rot in the coffin, in the ground, and it's eaten by worms. In Bengal, one Islamic preacher, Mullah Sengupta Muhammad, he was converted Hindu to Islamic Dharma. He came to Mayapur and he gave lecture. He said that, I used to be Hindu, but Hindu Dharma, I saw that they burn the body. When I saw how they take the beauty of the body and they just burn it, and they throw the ashes in the Ganges, I thought this is very barbaric. Then I saw Islamic Dharma, that they're taking the body, they're putting in a nice box, all surrounded by velvet and satin and silk, good clothing. They're putting in a nice box, they're covering it very respectfully, not just burning it as if it didn't value, but very respectfully, they bury it in a nice warm earth. Then I knew this is it. This is the real dharma. Everyone has the right for their own dharma. We have nothing to say. But Bhagavad, it says very clearly, you burn the body, it becomes ashes. You bury the body, it becomes worms. Not that you bury the body. If you open up that coffin after 6 months, what will you find? The same person will be there. Egyptians, they mummified the body by various processes. So they try to do, but eventually, sooner or later, it becomes digested. It becomes worms. Or like the Parsis, they tie up the body and let the vultures eat it. So the vultures eat and digest and pass out the body as stool. Or sometimes we see some dead body. One time in Mayapur we saw some man was poisoned. And all around the body in the morning there was about 10 dead dogs and 2 foxes. They had gone to eat the body. They ate, there was so much poison in the body that when they ate, they died. But mostly the bodies aren't poisoned. So when you eat the body, they eat it, they pass it out as stool. So Bhagavad says, this body, what's it meant for? This body is going to be stool, or ashes, or worm. It's what it's meant for. Go in the public garden, see all the big people walking. But whatever big body they may have, whether cricket player, or whether politician, or whether movie star, or whatever it may be, the body is simply going to become stool, ashes, or worms. But everyone's thinking this body is all in all. This whole universe gets destroyed at the end, pariah, everything is wound up. Nothing remains. It all gets completely dried up, then flooded and dissolved, and then finally it dissolves right back to pradhan, to the unmanifest material energy, and goes back into the Mahavishnu. So, this material world, the material bodies, they're all temporary. They have no permanent value. So the Vedas are telling the human beings that using the best use of a bad bargain, as Srila Prabhupada would say, you have a temporary body, a body which is going to grow old, get diseased, die. Again, you have to take birth again, just like Daksha, he had to take birth again. He's again taken up where he began. He has these desires. So long as we have desires, we have to again come back. So he has a good desire. Desire to create progeny for the universe, some mixture of goodness and passion is there. But he doesn't have the transcendental desire to serve Krishna in pure devotional service. So again he comes back to the material world. Similarly, unless we purify ourselves from the material desire, we again have to come back to this material world. So the easiest way of purifying, the effective way in the age of Kali is to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Actually, just as I give the example, Europeans are giving a bowler hat to the tribals and getting gold. But we are more fortunate. We are giving some temporary body in the service of Krishna, we're getting something back eternal. But it's not that we're cheating Krishna. This is Krishna's mercy. He's accepting, all right. You use your body, you use your mind, you use your words in my service, you can come back to me. He's agreeing for this exchange. This is kindness. Although it's the best bargain. You see, it's like if you give someone an ice cube in exchange for the equal weight in gold. The ice cube is going to melt any second. It's so hot it will melt. But gold will last for so long. You're giving some temporary thing, you're getting back eternal. This is a special mercy. But because some people are so blind to their real benefit, the Lord has given a special facility. Actually, the devotees, they have the mandate from the Lord. Lord Chaitanya ordered his devotees to go out and request people to chant Hare Krishna. It's our only duty to request people to chant Hare Krishna. Even Srila Prabhupada once explained, you can go up to someone, my dear sir, you are very intelligent, you are very aristocratic, you are very educated, you are very wealthy, you know so many things. I have just one request. Forget everything. All this, forget it. And simply please chant Hare Krishna. Don't mind. Because all whatever is there in this material world, it doesn't last at all. But if somehow or another they chant Hare Krishna, this to their eternal benefit. Unfortunately, people have no brain to understand what is valuable and what is not valuable. But the devotees have the brain. Therefore, the devotees go and they go on trying to awaken people. The devotees know that any activity which is not connected with Krishna has no value, no permanence. So many histories are given in the Mahabharata, Ramayana, in Bhagavad, in Puranas. Great souls, great kings, great brahmanas, great people of the universe, but now they are just a name in history. But here people are trying to etch their name in history. You go by the Hussein Sagar, so many people's statues are there. So their name is etched in the history of Andhra Pradesh, or the history of South India, or the but maybe in Tamil Nadu, there many don't know these people. In Tamil Nadu, they have their own statues. In Karnataka, they have another set. Or maybe someone is known to the whole South India, but they don't know them in North India. Jai Bhagavad Ki. Or they're known in this country, they're not known in America, Europe. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, they were discussing. And the question was given, who is the most famous of all people? And the answer is that person who is pure devotee of Radha and Krishna. He's got the real fame. The devotee of the Lord is actually the famous person. But the devotee doesn't care whether they are fame or not, because they have the real thing. What is the use of fame without devotion? After time, people will forget. Just name remains sometime, 1 year, 10 years, 100 years, 1,000, 10,000. After some time, it's forgotten. Only the great devotees, they are remembered timelessly because there is worth remembering them. Because what they did was beneficial for everyone to know. Now, the government wants people to remember the freedom fighters because they consider this is good for national unity. But before this was India, it was Bharat, Varsha with so many other kings. Then it was also various kingdoms were there. Hyderabad was under Nizam. Like this, many divisions, subdivisions of the earth. Bhumi is same. So now one nationalism, in the future maybe another nationalism, different types of nationalism are there. So different heroes they want to keep in their mind. But the real thing that people should understand is to get the proper perspective. Daksha, he's such a personality over, you can say, millions of years is going on. Son of Brahma had to take birth again twice, but he keeps coming up to his original position because of getting blessing. Somehow or another, we are all the children of Krishna. We are all the part and parcel of Krishna. In Gita, Krishna says, Mamai vamsa jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatano. We are eternal parts and parcels of Krishna. But somehow or another, we forgot, we've fallen down. We've committed some offense. We are in this material ignorance. But we can regain our position by taking up Krishna consciousness. We can regain, just as Daksha regained his position, we can regain our eternal position. Indradev, he was cursed and he became a pig. He fell down from the position of being Devaraj. He became a pig. He was happy as a pig. He had his wife, had his children, had his mud hole. He was lying in the mud. Hot day, didn't bother, he had air conditioning. All around was nice, muddy water. So he's lying there like air conditioning, he's enjoying, surrounded by the luxury of his mud hole. But he could do more service, he could do higher service, so Brahma came down and delivered him from that, so he could remember that he was Devaraj. And he left that place and went back to Swarga. But even Indra is not eternal. Even Indra will die, take a new birth. A new Indra will come. So temporarily he forgot, became again, went back. So we are originally all from the spiritual existence. But we somehow we've fallen down. Now we have to return back, and this is a special opportunity given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, this Kali Yuga, which is the Yuga of Tamas, of ignorance, got so many difficulties, so many problems. How the Lord was so kind even to step foot in Kali Yuga. Even he's come as devotee, but still he put his lotus feet here in this Kali Yuga. Even the Lord is known as Tri Yuga. He only comes in Satya, Treta, Dharpa Yuga. He still, out of his causeless mercy, came in disguise in Kali Yuga. He put his lotus feet in this Yuga. Even he walked everywhere. How fortunate we are. Only 504 years ago, Lord Chaitanya was here on this planet. Even that time, there was Mughal rule. In many places, people were meat eating, they're also killing cows then. They're doing so many things. People were drinking wine. Already Kali Yuga begun. Maybe not to the extent now, but already so many sinful activities were there. Still some religious idea was there also. So Lord Chaitanya, he came even in the midst of that sinful situation and he delivered people. He delivered Jagai Madai and so many like him. Papi Tapi Jato Chilo Harina Uddarilo Tar Saki Jagai Madai. So we should see the how the Lord is so merciful to the conditioned soul. He wants them to return back. Even in the midst of this Kali Yuga, if people all chant Hare Krishna, we can have a period of Satya Yuga. We can have a period where goodness will prevail. So this is our duty, to go on chanting and spreading this message. We don't have to be shy. We see some person, they may be wealthy, they may be proud, they may be powerful, it doesn't matter. They're insignificant to Krishna. We're the servant of the greatest. But the devotee member remains humble in regard to his own position. But in regard to preaching, he knows whatever this person may be, he may have wealth, he may have good looks, he may have education, he may have power. This is due to previous karma. And when the karmas are finished, he'll be finished. And again has to take some other birth. So the devotee doesn't get bewildered by all this show. Devotee should remain very clear that you're very fortunate, but you want real fortune, chant Hare Krishna. Then you get the eternal thing. Whatever you have, good fortune now, will not stay forever. Wealth can be stolen by thieves. Beauty can be destroyed by even now a car accident, so many things, fire, anything can destroy beauty. Some movie star was there, some demoniac person took razor blade and cut his face out of envy. Beauty, this material beauty can easily go. Then they do plastic surgery, try to keep the beauty. Old age will take beauty. Why? Even without anything else, old age will take the beauty. One will become wrinkled. President of the United States, previous, his wife, she spent $25,000 to pull the wrinkle from her face. She's getting old, so they tie their wrinkle, make a stretch. When you get old, the skin become loose, so it hangs. So to make you look younger, then the $25,000, they pull everything. Keep it looking younger for 3 more years. After 3 years, again save. Again $25,000. Like this, people are wasting the money. Because they're thinking that how the body is, beauty is maintained is very important. People become very superficial. Daksha was son of Brahma, but due to offense, he had to take birth in a Kshatriya family. That comparatively very low birth. But he didn't tie him down because he did sacrifice and penance, he again came up. Birth can be this or that. Birth is not the most important thing, that's an advantage. We have to use it. If we misuse it, there's no use. So everything, whatever facility, it's all very short life, lived. So best service we're doing when we approach these wealthy people, become life member, engage yourself in Krishna's service. We should right out tell them, what is the harm? My dear sir, you're very fortunate, you must be very pious, do a lot of good karma. But you know this karma is very relative thing, it will go any time. So we want to make you a real good fortune. You should do service to Krishna, you should give some donation. You should serve, you should chant Hare Krishna. We are simply here for your welfare. Devotees are the real tax collectors. But you give tax to Krishna, you gain. What you gain by giving tax to government, that's another question. But whatever tax you give to Krishna, you gain. Some people give land to Krishna, they want to take it back. Pula Reddy, who donated the land for this temple, if he said after giving this land, he got so much other land from Krishna. He was not a loser. So in this way, we give to Krishna, we don't lose, we only gain. The Lord Chaitanya, he went everywhere, but he was simply interested in meeting the devotees. Some king wanted to see him, he wouldn't meet. Pratap Rudra said he wanted to meet him. He said, I won't meet a king. I don't care for kings. Finally, Pratap Rudra, because he swept the road before Jagannath, so Lord Chaitanya was merciful to him. He said, you can send his son. So he gave blessing to the prince. And later Pratap Rudra, dressed as a Vaishnava in white clothing with tilak, he went into the garden after the Rath Yatra festival when Lord Chaitanya was resting after dancing in ecstasy. And he went and he started to massage the lotus feet of the Lord and sing bhajan. So the way to approach Lord Chaitanya, you can't go that I have this qualification, I'm a king, I'm a prime minister, I'm any... You want what qualification? You go as a devotee. You can get his mercy. I simply the most fallen soul, give me your mercy. That's how you can easily get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He's special. avatar for the fallen pati pavan. Hetu taba avatar mosama papi na paibayar. So like that we have to approach in a humble way. Tanadapi suni chena sorori vasu vishnuta shishnuna. We have to go in a humble way to the Lord. But that doesn't mean that when we approach these people, actually they proudly walk, you feel intimidated sometimes. Oh, even you say good morning, they are very stiff, they are very proud. How to help these people who are so proud? They are going about their own way, but they don't know what is the future for them. They may be human being now, next life they may be dog. They may be anything. So that's why Lord Chaitanya's devotees are a bit bold. Although they're humble, they're, when it comes to preaching, they're bold. Some of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, even they approached the Mohammedan. They went to a Mohammedan cultured person, one. Kaji was there. He said, don't mind, but you should chant Hare Krishna. In a friendly way. He said, well, later. No, you should chant Hare Krishna. I'll chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. Hariva, Hariva, Hariva. You already started. You said Hare Krishna. So don't stop. Go on chanting. Actually, we don't care for any external designation. We simply want people to know they're all eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This can unite the whole world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question? Comments, Maharaj? Maman? The text, after being born Daksha by the super excellence of his bodily luster, covered all others' bodily opulence. Because he was very expert in performing fruitive activity, he was called by the name Daksha, meaning the very expert. Lord Brahma therefore engaged Daksha in the work of generating living entities and maintaining them. In due course of time, Daksha also engaged other Prajapatis, progenitors, in the process of generation maintenance. This is explained in a purport to the previous verse that each Manu lives for 4,320,000 years multiplied by 71. The present Manu has already lived for 4,320,000 years multiplied by 28. All these long lifespans are ultimately ended by the laws of material nature. The controversy of Daksha Yajna took place in Swayambhuva Manvantara period. As a result, Daksha was punished by Lord Shiva, but by virtue of his prayers to Lord Shiva, he became eligible to regain his former opulence. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, Daksha underwent severe penances up to the fifth Manvantara. Thus, at the beginning of the sixth Manvantara, known as the Chakshusha Manvantara, Daksha regained his former opulence by the blessings of Lord Shiva. So now he's taken birth in this Chakshusha Manvantara as one of the sons of one of the Prachetas. So the next chapter is the Prachetas, seeing they got so many good sons, good progeny, they leave and they go and do penances and austerities and meditation, and they meet Narada Muni who instructs them. The next chapter is Narada instructs the Prachetas. Any other questions? Maharajis, any question? You have a doubt?
They had two different spiritual offices. Ram was the president of the office. Was there. Whereas Krishna was the president of the Vidarbha and the
Why you're not bringing up Hare? Also in the mantra, Hare is there. Hare means energy. So energy is Radha. Radha has different outlook than Krishna. Hare, Rama, Sita. If you say that Rama, Raghupati, Raghav Ram, then the Sita also has different outlook. If you take Radha, Raman, anyway, Radha and Krishna, they both have different outlook. So why you're not bringing that point also? Why the Shakti is also there with different outlook? Why are you bringing social? Radha's social outlook, what are we bringing social outlook? Outlook is different. That doesn't matter. What does it matter what outlook they have?